We've got one more week on this, and it's moved quickly, hasn't it? And I thank the Lord for the opportunity. I love studying trees, but I thank God when he gets us to come back sometimes and sees the forest. And that's, I believe, what I've seen in such a wonderful way in studying Romans like this, where we've done a chapter each week, is to really see it in context with the whole. And the relationship that you have between chapter and chapter. And by the grace of God, continue to study that line upon line and precept upon precept. But then as the Lord brings us back to see the overview of the whole thing, as brother prayed, what a masterpiece it is. Because this is the word working effectually in them that believe. This word is alive in his vessels. You know that. See, that's where it is. The word of the Lord abides forever. And I thank God. We know that the word is Jesus. But aren't we thankful to God that that word is alive in us? And that's what we have, is we have that same eternal life, because it's the very life of Christ that lives in us. As we rejoice in Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And we're so grateful for that. And so grateful for the opportunity of this faith that God gives us. But in these last three chapters, we've been seeing, people have called them practical living chapters. I don't think there's anything practical about God. It's incredible, supernatural, because he is just that way. Now, by the grace of God, we know nothing's hard for him. So we can understand that it can be just an extension of living Christ in you, the hope of glory. But what a supernatural thing that is. And we're finding as we go into these chapters, all of the preceding chapters is building that love. It really is the love. I appreciated how a sister brought it out again in the tongue and interpretation on Sunday. It's the love that's going to win Christ. It's the love, and we know that. See, it's that mature love. It's that love that's fully grown. It's a perfected love. It's a complete love. And we know where that love comes from. It's not from us. It's from him. Because God is love. Isn't that interesting? I mean, to be filled with all the fullness of God is to be filled with all the fullness of love. And I thank the Lord how Paul brings that out so specifically in Ephesians, that we would know the love of Christ and to know it in those depths and heights and lengths and breadths and in every way, in the deepest manner. All of the things of the Old Testament come to life, and especially all of those relationships. You find out there's one love story after another love story within the Old Testament. It's all about brides and husbands. That's exactly what it is. Started right with Adam and Eve. I mean, there he was. It's not good for man to live alone. There was a completeness that needed to happen. Jesus Christ will have a bride. And we're so thankful to God that, you know, that proposal is to us. That wonderful encouragement that we live in this age. It's called the church age. This is not the age of the kingdom where it will be this mass encouragement to preach the word of God and to go out into all veins of the earth to try to win souls to Christ. I'm thankful to God as we have opportunity for that. But this age right now is the bride for his son. And I thank God that we can preach this and rejoice in this, because I do believe this time is about to wrap up. But what we've read and what we've seen is the display of the full overcomer perfected love. And it's going to continue right on in here to chapter 15. So let's go ahead and read the first three verses together. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Now remember this, that in the last chapter we were talking about being encouraged that we wouldn't stumble our brother or sister in the Lord because of the liberties that we have. If some don't feel comfortable eating certain meats or drinking or whatever it may be, if you have that liberty, that's not something to throw into someone else's face. We need to be encouraging ones. We need to have love that's perfected, that we want to encourage others and to pray, as Brother Paul said, happy is he that condemns not himself in the things which he allows. See, that's the beautiful thing about going on with the Lord. He whom he has made free is free indeed. We live in that wonderful encouragement. All things are lawful, but all things aren't necessarily expedient. All right? So this isn't just a free-for-all. And as well, too, even with our liberties, we do not want our liberty to stumble our brother. I do not want that to happen. I want to be tender and encouraging. You understand that? This isn't hiding the truth. This isn't about preaching the word of God. This doesn't mean about compromising. If somebody has a hard time with the Holy Ghost, you understand that. But let me tell you something. You better preach the truth. Sunday, I'll tell you what, I'm so thankful to God he brought that out. I know there were ones in this meeting, they're uncomfortable. But see, that's what the word of God does. It makes you uncomfortable. It's always challenging you. He's a chastening father. He's after you. He's after more. You're his inheritance. What do you think God wants out of you? He wants full riches. Amen? He wants a full return, a double portion reward. That's exactly what God is after. And we know that and we rejoice. And sometimes I'll tell you what, it's rough. It's rough. It hurts. But thanks be to God, I'll tell you what. Happy is he that condemns not himself in the things which he allows. So this love is continuing on here in this chapter. So in verse 15, let's go again. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Now think of that. Please to what? To spiritual encouragement. Amen. So we're right back to the word of God. This isn't just to be men pleasers. This isn't just to do good deeds. This is about the word of God. This is about encouraging people in the truth. You're wasting your time if you're just trying to be a goodie. Matter of fact, we say that often, and you know that. The most detrimental thing to God's best is good. So we want to go on to the best, and sometimes that can be tough love. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. I read these things and I think about what the Lord has given to us, brothers and sisters, and it is responsibility according to ability. Perfected love. We call it a 10. That's what the number 10 is, responsibility according to ability. It's perfection. Amen? And thanks be to God, to whom much love is given. I love that. To whom much is given, and what is that much? It's love. To whom much love is given, much is required. Praise God. We should be lovers, and I mean immense lovers and incredible lovers, quick to love, quick to encourage. Praise his name. And I thank the Lord that this is so thankful. This is his love, and this is rampant, praise God, in this place. I know that he's doing it. And you think about what God has encouraged in the vessels in this place, edifying, restoring, bearing the hurts and the reproaches of the brethren. I think it's a common thing by the grace of God in here. I salute you, brethren. We know it's the grace of God that's with us. But we don't want to tear one another down. I thank God we all got problems. I thank God that when we come into this place, you know, people have asked me this week about some certain types of sin and everything. Well, you know, this and this. I said, let me tell you something. You come in here, there's going to be every sin that's out there is in here. It's all here. You know why? Because there's flesh in here. This is flesh, and it's a sinful flesh. Let's understand that. But I thank the Lord, we don't want to bring that in a sense to magnify. What we want to do is, by the grace of God, is preach the word, because the balm's in Gilead. He's the Lord thy God that healeth all our diseases, and it's marvelous. And that's the truth. I said, my goodness, if we're going to go start going there, you're not even going to have a pastor, and there ain't going to be anybody in here. So you know it. And thank the Lord for it, because then you'll begin to grow in this wonderful grace of God. And let me tell you something, grace is not the excuse to fail. It's the reason to succeed. It's the reason to go on and to overcome. You understand how incredible grace is. Grace will change you. Grace will change you. Grace will change your heart. I know it. I can testify of it. There are things I wanted changed in my life for years and years. Grace changed them. And then I'm thankful to God there's some things that the Lord ain't pulling out of this life. He said, honey, you're going to have that thorn. It's all right. I'm still praying. I'm saying, Lord, if it be thy will, but you know what? We're good with this. Because I'll tell you what, it causes me to bend that knee and thank him. I need you, Jesus. Now, let's think about this. Edifying, restoring, bearing the hurts of others. But see, this isn't tending someone else's garden. Don't ever do that. Don't be a busybody. Do not do that. See, when we're talking about the strong to bear the infirmities of the weak, you know the greatest thing that you can do, I really do believe this, is to come up to a brother or sister in the Lord and express to them, especially ones that are having trouble, just tell them you love them. And I mean sincerely that you love them. And you love them in the truth. And that you're for them in the truth. And by the grace of God, we lift one another's hands, don't we? This isn't just a speak. This is the truth. We lift one another's hand. There's feeble knees. There's weakness that's going on. We want to be like those with the brother that we're lifting his hands to pray in that battle. Amen. That's the encouragement that we have here. This is the encouragement that this is the love of Christ that stands on the word with our brother and sister in the Lord, that no matter what the circumstances are, we're encouraging always that the word of his grace is for you. By the grace of God, all the backing of the word of God is for every child of God. And know that and understand that. And by the grace of God, be one that encourages that brother or sister in Christ that might be in such crisis. Just go boldly to the throne of grace. I've heard people tell, well, you've got to get right. You've got to do this before. Don't ever listen to that. That's a lie. You go boldly and get the mercy. Amen. Go boldly and get the mercy. Amen? Amen? Amen. Then you'll get all that grace and all that help in your time of need. So we thank God for that. So this is a wonderful thing that we believe the Lord in. Now, here comes the comfort for everything. But even more than that, this is such an incredible next 6 or 7 verses. It's almost like there's an insert in this passage, but that's how the Lord is. He's such a lover, he's got to go back and really minister about his incredible passion for the Gentile bride. And let's really rejoice from 4 to 13. This is so magnificent. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, this is beautiful, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures, patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So what we have here is it says patience. Faith, brothers and sisters, if you go on with the Lord at all, you're going to understand one thing that faith always incorporates, patience. Faith always incorporates waiting. I thank the Lord for that. It's beautiful. God has a way, doesn't he? And see, that's exactly what faith is. Faith calls those things, as the word of God says, true faith calls those things which be not as though they were. Amen? We know that. That's the encouragement. Faith waits on the Lord. And why is that? Because faith worketh by love. See, the word of God says that. Isn't that beautiful? Faith works by love. Goes right back to that trust. Even in our natural lives, the Lord has encouraged us. We know this, that the people that we know that love us the most, we trust them, don't we? We have confidence in them. True love. You have confidence in their encouragement, in their actions and motives to you. Well, here's the only one truly with the greatest pure love there's ever been, and this is your Lord. This is why we have faith in him. We don't have faith in God because we fear him that he's going to kill us. He's God of love. We know he could, but I trust him because he loves me, because he is God, and he could kill me at any minute if he wanted to, but he doesn't want to. Matter of fact, he was so beyond the opposite of that, he gave his only begotten son to save me. When I was dead in trespasses and sin, when I didn't deserve a thing at all, and I still don't, he just loves me. Praise God. And that's the beauty of this, it's this wondrous love. But see, this is what faith is. Faith waits on the Lord. But as it's waiting, what faith does is it sees the future in the hands of the Lord, all in the word of God. Do you know that? See, I pray for something by the grace of God, and I believe him for it. I trust the Lord for it. But as I grow in the Lord, you know what I'm praying more and more? Lord, your will be done. I want your will. Because, see, my will might be given in a way, but it's always going to come short of what God's perfect will would be. And I thank the Lord that even Paul says that we could even stand complete and perfect in all the will of God. We'll get to that in a little bit here. But, see, that's exactly what faith is. And that's it. Notice this. It's through patience and comfort of the scriptures. It's always going to be through the word of God. There is no other comfort. There's no other comfort but the word of God. Amen. And think of that about our wonderful Holy Ghost that was sent to us by Jesus. He's the comforter. And why would he be the comforter? Because he leads you into all truth. See, it says right there that it's so beautiful that we get patience and comfort of the scriptures. But boy, when you have the Holy Ghost and all truth, man, you've got the comforter. You've got the comforter that's comforter in you in that truth. I mean, it takes you to a whole different realm, doesn't it? I mean, that's when you become the full overcomer in Christ. That's why it doesn't matter what hits you by the grace of God. That word, it's a rocking chair of grace. We've heard that for years, haven't we? And we just kind of go back in it, and you're just saying, oh my, this just isn't just comfortable. This is glorious. So we thank the Lord. There is no hope either. Notice this. The comfort's in the Word of God, and there's no hope but in the Word of God. If you have your hope in anything else, it's not hope. That's an if. When your hope is in God, it's just when. It's just a matter of when. It's coming. It's coming. It's that patience that he wants to build. Patience got to have her perfect work, but it's coming. And we thank God for that. Now, let's go on to verses 5 through 7. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you. Isn't that something? Not later on, but now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. That is so powerful. See, this is speaking of Christ, the grace giver. And he is. He is the grace giver. And he causes us to be equal-minded with him. And I love that. As we come together, and this is what we're rejoicing in right now. This is why we're in tune. We know that this is the Spirit. We have one mind and we have one mouth. And this is marvelous because this is what we seek. And I thank God because it's his faithfulness. When we seek this, we possess his mind and we possess his voice. Because you know why? Because he said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So what is that mind? It's this. It's not my thoughts and ideas, and it sure isn't yours either. And I'm not comparing mine with yours. I'll just tell you what they are. They're junk. They are. It's just junk, and it's going to get us in trouble. We're going to go in a way that's not going to be good. But I thank God there's but one mind. And I thank the Lord there's but one voice. And I thank God as Paul grew in that grace, and we're going to read about here in a minute, Paul's authority, the authority that he was given because of the grace of God. See, you have authority because of grace. You didn't deserve it, but it's because of the grace of God that's with you. And it's so all-powerful. But that's what really grew and encouraged his heart, that that he could speak in such authority with that grace. Speak to a point to where he said, preach no other gospel. See, what was given to Paul, he knew, was that mark for the prize, for the high calling of God gospel. That there wasn't any other gospel. That if he came back with some great ideas, or if there was anybody else that would preach any other gospel, he said, let him be accursed. Because this is too valuable. It's just too marvelous. Because this is, as brother prayed today, it's the masterpiece. This is the masterpiece. This is the pinnacle of all truth of what the Lord is bringing forth right now. The goodly pearl that he is searching for his son. And it's just miraculous that we see this. Now, this is beautiful because we know that this in this grace, there's oneness. And we receive one another, it says, to receive one another. Look at that verse 7. Receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. How do you think Christ received us to the glory of God? You think he's pretty happy? You think he'd be called joy unspeakable and full of glory? Do you think it would be so euphoric, it'd be beyond anything? How are we receiving one another? I believe that. I believe there really is a joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's growing, isn't it? It's just not like we go to church and we say, well, I'm just going to bear through this. Oh, it's brother so-and-so or sister this and that, and I'm just going to... No, we thank God. I know what's going on in you. It's the same that's going on in me. And you know why? Because we're hearing Paul's gospel. This is his work. The Lord doesn't judge on the appearance. He looks at the heart. Amen? And I thank the Lord, this is what he's sowing in them that believe. And by the grace of God, I don't want to size you up and I don't want to judge you. As a matter of fact, I think we've been reading in Romans, I'm not to judge. I love you. I love you. And I know you love me. And I know we're all problem children. But I thank God for His grace. And we all got battles. And sometimes with one another. But I'll tell you what, this message is real and you know it. And you know that this thing is working. It's working in them that believe. It's working out a bride. And she's one. And she's one. And we do, by the grace of God. There's but one message. Yes, there's but one mind. And there's but one voice. And I thank the Lord for it. And I thank God He gives us the grace to share it together with Him. Now, notice the depths of this passage. You see the words glorify. You see glory. And then there in verse 9, read this. Isn't this marvelous? And that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. Isn't that beautiful? See how we're reading all this thing and now, wait a second, we're talking about the Gentiles again. See, because this is what is on the Lord's heart. Think about those Gentile bride studies. All of those types and shadows of the Old Testament. Here it's real. And it's us. This is the ministering. Will you take that? Will you be like that Tamar? Asenath, will you be like these incredible Rahabs? Will you be like that? Will you be like Ruth? Will you take the instruction of the one that knows and say, get in there and go past all the ones that say, oh, you're not worthy and this isn't for you? You weren't born here. It's mine. It's mine because I'm born of God. I've got His, I'm telling you what, I've got that blood. I'm ready to go. That's the mark. And look at this. Glorify God for His mercy. And that is the mark, brothers and sisters. It's mercy. If we want to bring glory to God, if we want to be glory and full of glory for the Son, it's got to be His mercy. And never forget it. The crowning of the ark, that beautiful ark, that ark that they treasured more than anything because it was the presence of God, the crowning of that ark was the mercy seat. And out of the mercy seat, above even that, praise God, was the cherubim. Huh? There you are, Gentile. Praise Him for His mercy. Hallelujah. Now, again, let's read verses 10 and 11. You see this vein of thinking that's just pressing upon Paul's heart. Verse 10. And again, he says, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with His people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud Him, all ye people. I think Paul's an encourager, would you say? You think he was he kind of shy or was he ashamed to say, you know what, praise the Lord. Praise Him, thank Him, rejoice, and again rejoice. And I love this. And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, that he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In Him shall the Gentiles trust, O our precious Jesus. Okay, now here it is. Here it is. It's culminating now. Verse 13. Now. So we went through all 4 through 12. But now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh my. We talk about Paul's alls, amen? Well, here's a great all. I love that. With all joy and peace in believing. We don't need some. We don't get part. We get it all. This is what God is after. Now, if you look back to verse 4, notice that. The Word gives us our hope in Christ. We love that. But here, see, we have even more. Now we have the Holy Ghost to abound. And that word abound means to bubble over. It means to overflow. It means an infinite double portion. And specifically, what is Paul's hope? Think about how Paul expresses the hope that the Lord had given him. How about the hope of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Amen? How about not just the Lord's appearing, but that first appearing? How about the hope of glory? Isn't that something? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That hope, praise God. How about hope makes me not ashamed? How about, praise God, you get it. And you thank the Lord that even your failures you see in the light of abounding hope. How about Abraham? He said it like this, against hope, he still believed in hope. Boy, that's one to noodle around. Against hope, he believed in hope. But see, that was the hope of man. And it was done. But he believed in the hope of God, which was finished. You see, the hope of man, it was over. There was no way it could ever be attained. But in the hope of God, it was finished for him to have. He has spoken, he said it, and it's so. And I thank the Lord. It was counted unto him for righteousness. He just believed God. And see, we can have this. We can be flooded over with all joy and peace in believing. Don't you love to believe God? I love to come to a Bible study because you know why? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith doesn't come by feeling good and grabbing people's hands and singing for hours and getting mesmerized by it becomes like, I hate to say it, you can say a verse so many times, it becomes like a mesmerizing chant. You don't even know what you're feeling. I can't feel my feet anymore. I've been standing so long. But that's the truth. Amen. It's the word of God, isn't it? And faith works effectually in them that believe. And see, that's the believing that the Lord's talking about. That's the bridal believing is what this is really talking about. This bubbling over. This abounding in hope. This abounding in the hope of his appearing. See, that's what Paul really honed in on, was the hope of the appearing of the Lord. He wanted to see Jesus. Do you know Paul? He was even trying to get back to Jerusalem because he believed that the Lord was coming. Did Paul waste his time believing that the Lord was coming? No, he didn't, did he? It was his first love to see him. See, when you're always about seeing your first love, you know what? You're happy. You're joyful. You have peace. I know I'm going to see him. I'm hoping I see him tonight. And I am seeing him tonight. I love his appearing. This is where it is. I know it doth not yet appear what it shall be. We sure ain't going to look like this. Thank God, huh? But I'm going to get in trouble. But we know that when we see him, we'll be like him. But I thank the Lord that there's something about this Paul's gospel thing in a life. More and more, I'm seeing Jesus. And you have to remember, what also are you looking for? Praise God. So we thank the Lord for this. But really know this, brothers and sisters. This abounding in hope, this joy and peace in believing, it's because of the Holy Ghost. It's because of the Holy Ghost. And I thank God it's all by the Holy Ghost. And without the fullness of the Holy Ghost, what's going to happen in your life is you're always going to sit on the outside. You're always going to be sitting around, as they say, the premises. You're not ever going to really enter in. You're not going to have that fervent love that I want to get in there. This is mine. Not only do I belong, it's mine. And I'm going in there in that oneness. I'm so thankful that, you know, I was rejoicing with Brother John Hill. You know, someday we're singing and praising. We're just going to enter right in. I don't need to be taught. See, I'm going to be like him. I'm just going to enter right into that praise and worship. Isn't that awesome? We were just rejoicing and laughing in the Lord with that and on the phone and just praising God and saying, thank you, Jesus. We get it. I get that. I don't think of what I'm going to do. I know I'm going to be doing it. Whatever that doing is, but it tells me it's a lot of worship. It's a lot of drawn nigh and fervent love to kiss him. Amen. And we're grateful for that. But see, this is what the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost makes you confident. And the Holy Ghost makes you patient. And the Holy Ghost allows you to abide for your spouse. And when you're abiding for a spouse, you have all joy and peace. And all that joy and peace is only found in Paul's gospel. It's in no other place. See, Paul's gospel sets you apart in faith. Paul's gospel sets you to a place that you know that I am my beloved's and his desire is toward me. I know he's got me, but I'm going to tell you something about grace. I know I got him. I know he loves me. I'm going to say that I know he adores me. I know he's looking through that lattice as I continue to believe more and more of this bridal truth. Oh man, he's just wow. Wow. You're going to read, you're not going to believe. Well, I know you're going to believe it because it's just our Jesus. But some of these things we're going to touch on here in a moment. Now notice verse 4, going back there again. For whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So thinking back, those things were written for our learning. And as verse 4 brought out, it was for hope. But here, once again, we don't just have hope, but we have abounding in hope. Abounding in hope. But it's by the power of the Holy Ghost. Think of that, what Jesus said to Peter. Peter, you'll have power once you have the Holy Ghost. Once you're filled with the Holy Ghost, Peter, you're going to have power. And when Peter got filled, he got power. And it was power from up on high. It wasn't Peter's power anymore, because Peter's power was pretty pitiful. You say that, Peter's pitiful power. There you go. And it didn't last. You know that. It failed him. But see, Peter, you'll have power after that infilling of the Holy Ghost. And now with that, praise God, you have this super encouragement. You have this encouragement of love. I love how Brother Hill always used to say it. The love of God, and I'm talking about that divine love, it makes you love everybody. It makes you love everybody. It loves the unlovable. It actually just goes out of the way to love the unlovable. And read verse 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness. Wow, that's quite a statement, Paul. Filled with all knowledge. Look, at there's another of Paul's alls. So you're full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Now, those that are filled and full of the Holy Ghost, you get this. You have this abounding hope to encourage one another. And I thank God that we can even be full of goodness because the Holy Ghost, if you'll let him, will fill you with what? All knowledge. It's huge, isn't it? Knowledge is key, that I may know him. I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. That's marvelous. And there it is. It's all truth. Paul's gospel's result. The result of Paul's gospel is full maturity. You'll live with this reigning mind. And praise God, aren't you thankful? This letter just isn't to the Romans back in 60 AD. This letter's to us in 2019. And it's alive and well. And I thank God it's encouraging my heart. Now verses 15 and 16. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind. And why? Because of the grace that is given to me of God. See, it wasn't Paul that thought this up. It was because of grace. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Isn't that something? He didn't just say a minister to the Gentiles. He said, I am the minister to the Gentiles. Well, you best pay attention to this. Ministering what? The gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And I pray that we really get this. And I get this. He wrote the more boldly, putting them in the same mind. Praise God. He said, I'm going to put you in the same mind with me because of one thing, and that's because of grace. See, Paul's authority, brothers and sisters, was the grace of God. The grace of God that's with me. I am what I am by the grace of God. Not being found in my righteousness. No, not mine. But the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's the mark. It's all him. Nothing of me. Transparent completely. Sincere, clear to the light. Christ in me, Lord. The hope of glory. That man, that perfect man. The fullness and stature and measure of Christ. Not of Paul, not of his goodness, but of Christ. And this is what's so exciting here is Paul is encouraging us, brothers and sisters. Paul has this authority by grace and in grace, and we enter into that same place in truth and love by taking Paul's grace. Remember how Paul said to them, I perceive that you're partakers of my grace. That's such an incredible statement. Paul possessed ownership in the heights of the grace of God. That there wasn't anything that the grace of God could not attain in his life. I'm the chief of sinner. That's what Paul said. I'm the chief of sinner. And yet, praise be to the Lord. But yet this great grace that's been given to me, this dispensation of this incredible gospel of the bride for the Lamb. Amen. You think he had authority in the grace of God? I think he did. From the gutter, utter manure most, because of what? Self-righteousness, amen? See, there wasn't anyone more self-righteous than Paul. Paul, as far as keeping the law, nobody could touch him. But yet we know, as we've studied Romans, and as Paul said, by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. None. Ever. Ever. And the only thing that pleases the Lord, praise God, as we know, it's faith. But he says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, that's the sad thing about Christianity, is man wants, again, man to be magnified. So what is the first steps usually of Christianity? Well, they'll throw the Ten Commandments right back in your face. Well, here's your set of rules to go live by. Just go on now, and let's see how many good works you can do. And see, that's the filthy rags. That's the wood, hay, and stubble that you can build up and up and up and up, and it just burns. The gold, silver, and precious stone is the knowledge of Paul's gospel. And I'll tell you what, when you really love that, it'll transform you, I'll tell you, into that all-glorious, spotless bride. And it will. It's amazing to see those that walk around. They know that they're in love. So, he's the apostle to the Gentiles. In verse 16 it says, to offer them up in the gospel to set apart by the Holy Ghost. See, you'll never really be set apart to the Lord without the Holy Ghost. You can try, but it won't happen. Because see, the Holy Ghost is that Eliezer that came for Rebekah. He took Rebekah right out of the family, amen? And he set her apart, didn't he? He took her so far apart, where did he take her? He took her to the bridegroom. He took her right out of the family, separated her way, way far away, and praise God, took her right to the bridegroom. That's how far apart, but that's only the Holy Ghost that's going to do that. And how does the Holy Ghost do that? With the love gospel. The love gospel, that's what this is. You can't set yourself apart to nothing. You'll set yourself apart by yourself. And that's not a good place to be. The last place I want to be is by myself. I want to be set apart to him. I want the Holy Ghost to take these riches and just bestow them on this vessel of mercy. All right? And just pour them on my life. Now, verse 18. Let's go on here. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient. And how? By word and deed. This is such a beautiful thing. Word and deed. See, Paul's saying not just to speak it. It radiated from Paul. And what was the deed? It was love. See, that's what this is speaking of. All these chapters. It's love, isn't it? This is edifying one another. This is spiritual encouragement. This is what the Lord is looking for and wanting to have growth in our life. And how did this happen, verse 19? Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. Once again, by the Holy Ghost. So that from Jerusalem and about and round about until Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. I love that. See, all of the mighty signs. And you think about all the mighty signs. Paul talks about a lot of signs. One sign he always talks about is tongues. So there was a lot of the infilling and fullness of the Holy Ghost. And then the prophesying was there. We know all of the wondrous gifts of the Spirit. And all of that is always included in fully and always all with Paul. Fully preaching and living the entire gospel. Look at that. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Think about how people want to reach people with the Word of God today. It's always about things that they can do for them. Mission trips for everything, but truly, and not only the Word of God, but look at what Paul said, fully preached the gospel of Christ. Really know that. Really take that. That this is what this is about. This is why this letter is specifically to these people. Now, in verses 20 through 25, Paul reveals his heart for these bridal cherubim saints. And I want you to look at 24 with me. It says, "Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company." Oh. This is quite a statement. This statement, "fill me with your company," means to gaze at your beauty in love. That's what Paul is talking about here. Is these saints had received the fullness of that gospel with him. They had and rejoiced in that one mind and one voice. There was such a oneness and a settling down in marriage that Paul looked at them and wanted to return to them to gaze upon their beauty. I kind of see the cherubim wings touching over the mercy seat. It's like the mercy flowing out of them and kind of keeps flowing around, that flows back this way. And, you know, we're just encouraging one another. It's like this conduit that pumps back and forth. But this is real. And this is the heart of those that go after Paul's gospel. They share this for one another. Verse 29 says, "And I'm sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." Notice how many times Paul, it's always the gospel, isn't it? It's always the word. It's not in things, it's not in events, it's not in activities. It's not in trying to build stuff and do all these things for people. It's always about the one thing. It's about the gospel. Aren't you thankful that our fellowship is in the gospel of Christ? Aren't we thankful by the grace of God that this is what it is? This is the one mind. This is the one voice. It's him. It's his message. This is what he does. And in verse 29, after he goes to the saints in Jerusalem, what he's saying, "I'm coming back to you. I'm coming in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." And what that really means in that fullness, it speaks of a fullness of a ship with all the riches. That's what that refers to. It's like a ship, a cargo ship, but not just any cargo ship. It's the cargo ship with all the riches. It's the mother load. And that's the fellowship that he had with these saints in Rome. That's why he longed to get back to them. That's what Paul's gospel is. It's the mother load. It's the fullness of the blessings in the gospel. Look at that. The fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. That's why Paul said, "We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ." Paul's gospel opened it up. That this is all ours. It's not just bits and pieces. We've come into the fullness of this. And I thank God that this is the evidence that's so clear. When Paul's gospel is alive in us, brothers and sisters, we are like Paul. We're like Paul, and not just in word, but in deed. And it shows. And who does it show to? It shows to the other bridal saints. When you follow Paul as he followed Christ, you will follow Paul in word and in deed. And the deed of Paul was his speak was the gospel, and his love was for the saints of like precious faith. Aren't you thankful that you or no one else pulled you out of here? And I know everybody here at one time or another felt that they had to bail. Or there was a reason to go. You best praise the Lord, because this is the evidence of it. This is it. It's like it just keeps, you know, here peeling it back in the layers. And, oh, here's the mine. This is the mine. You don't just come in here to come in here. You come in here for love. The love of the truth and the love of the saints that love the truth. And that's why Paul's saying this. It's not just knowing it, and it ain't showing it. It's living it. And it's alive in you. And you're in love. And when you're in love with those that are in love. And then finally, here's the instruction of it all. He says here, till then, our instruction, till we meet Paul in the air, because I received this. Verse 30, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So the encouragement here is to strive together with Paul. Now there were some specific things that were on Paul's heart that he was telling these saints at Rome. I get that. But there's a charge that even goes beyond this. And it's right there in verse 32. And here's the charge. Here's what I want you to strive. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. I want you to think about that as we go tonight. The joy by the will of God. The only real joy is the will of God. That's it. There isn't any other joy. And I'll tell you what, it's a full joy. It's all joy. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory joy. And that's how we're to receive one another. This is what the Lord is encouraging, is that we don't have to wait. We can have this now. And those that partake in it now will partake in it over there. But this is wonderful. It can be perfected in us. Standing perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's Colossians 4:12. Standing perfect and complete in all the will of God. That doesn't mean that you make every right decision in life. That has nothing to do with it. You're going to make a lot of bad decisions. Paul isn't talking about your personal decisions here in chapter 15. He's talking about one thing, the gospel of Christ. He's talking about all the will of God in the full gospel of Christ. That I fully preach the word of God. That it's all in the scriptures. That you abound. Abound and superabound. The joy in all joy and peace in believing. Amen? And it's by the Holy Ghost, the one who happens to lead you into all truth. Praise you, God. See, it's the heart that meets the Lord now in all joy and peace in believing, abounding in hope by the Holy Ghost. That's the peace, praise be to God, like none other. Full faith. In Paul's bridal gospel. Full faith. A true bride on the eve of her wedding is one thing. Pure joy. Did you hear that? A true bride on the eve of her wedding is one thing. She is pure joy. And by the grace of God, all I can say is let it rain in here. Let it rain. Let's be in full joy. Full joy, all peace. We rest. We don't strive. We know that if he be for us, who could be against us? And I know it's the word of his grace. It's the word of his grace that builds you up and gives you an inheritance. What you heard tonight, this is what builds you up and gives you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Did you hear that again? It's the word of His grace that builds you up. It's this message. It's not what you're going to do tomorrow. It's not what you're going to do tonight. It's not what changes you think you're going to do for your life. It's by the grace of God being this vessel that allows this message to continue to pour in. That it's by the word of His grace that He'll build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise God.